Good morning. Welcome to Your Health. I'm Ann Goldin, and this week we have a gaggle of guests. We're going to talk about Wellville, how Clatsop County can be a healthier place. And of course, if you live in Columbia County, Tillamook County, Lincoln County, or Pacific County, don't worry, you will not be excluded. My guests today are Esther Dyson, the founder of Hiccup, Rick Brush, the CEO of Hiccup, Martin Aviles, advisor to Hiccup, and Bonnie Thompson, the chief operating officer and chief nurse at Seaside Providence Hospital, and on the Way to Wellness Council. Welcome all.
Hi.
Thank you.
Yes. Okay. So I want to start with you, Esther, since I dub you the queen of this endeavor. What is Hiccup?
Hiccup is a five-year mission, program, initiative, challenge for the five communities to become dramatically healthier, not just in terms of BMI or something medical, but as good places to live, as healthy places to raise your children, as great places for employers to bring in employees. In other words, they need to be places you want to live in.
And I would say that Clatsop County is a place that people want to live. People have been moving here in droves since I moved here in 1981. It was slow at first. There were more of people that had been here for generations, and now there are more people that have moved here in the last 30 years.
I'm one of those people. I moved here about 2.5 years ago because I wanted to live on the coast of in Pacific Northwest and love Oregon. And while it is gorgeous here, we still have some things that we could be doing much better. We're middle of the state for how we're doing on most of our health indicators. We're below the state average on a lot of them and not in a good way. And so, you know, what more wonderful thing than to not only live in the most beautiful place in Oregon, but to live in the healthiest place in mm-hmm. Oregon or in the country.
Absolutely. So, Esther, when you thought about doing this, did you decide that there was no, if you were going to wait for somebody else to do it or for a government to do it or for some NGO to do it, it was never going to happen?
Yeah. I mean, I had the time and I thought somebody should do this. And then I realized, oh, it's me. The main idea here is instead of waiting until people get unhealthy and then fixing them, usually when it's too late, when it's very expensive and when it's already disrupted their family lives, they've lost their jobs, you've created a lot of damage. Why not start at the beginning and keep people healthy, starting with babies and parents and then the rest of the population? But no matter how much someone is resigned to their own poor health, if you start talking about children, they realize how important this is. So it's, you could call it preventive health, but it's a bit broader than the health care system. It's schools, food, living styles, dealing with addictions and broken homes and stuff like that, so that you don't need to be lucky to be normal. There's a lot of normal and better people in Clatsop County, but there's also a lot of people who just weren't lucky. How can we help them get their luck back and then contribute to society rather than feeling that they're disempowered and in pain?
Going back to how Clatsop County was chosen, one of the criteria was it had to be a community of under 100,000, which obviously could be a lot of cities in the United States. How many applied, Rick?
We were blown away by how many applied. We had 42 communities from 26 states apply, and Clatsop County rose to the top for a number of reasons. We were looking for communities that, first of all, they fit our geographic requirements, but also communities that demonstrated that they're already focused on improving the overall population health, and they're doing a good job at it, and they have a lot of stakeholders already coming together to do that.
How do you see that?
Well,
how can you measure it?
Yeah, well, first of all, you see it on paper. You see the number of organizations that signed up in the application. And then we came out and visited. We came out and visited in the summer of 2014. And, you know, you feel it because you meet with the people and the organizations and you see them talking and working together. And you get a sense that this is a place that we can add some additional support to and maybe accelerate the efforts over the next 5 years.
One of the things that stood out was that when we came for the visit, we went to the community college, and the show of the people that gathered was very significant. And so that was one of the characteristics that we looked for in the communities, is that did the community have the ability to come together? Were they able to organize or self-organized, so to speak? And I think that was, at least for me, it was one of the big indicators to support Clatsop.
Okay. And so what were the geographic issues you were looking for?
So we think a smaller community under 100,000 is going to be able to make more progress faster. And a big part of this is demonstrating to the rest of the country and the rest of the world what's possible. Mm-hmm. And so to do this in Clatsop County is an easier place than New York City or a large place. So in addition to that, we're looking for communities that are somewhat self-contained. And Clatsop County, while it's, you know, huge and spreads geographically, you know, it really is bound, you know, by the ocean, by the state of Washington. So, you know, there's some people aren't commuting from here to Portland very much. So if you're too close to a big city, too much of your population is going in and out of your community, and it becomes a bedroom community. So we're really looking for a community where people live, work, and play, you know, all in one place, because mm-hmm. they have much more skin in the game, and they're much more interested in building health in the community that they care about.
Esther?
Yeah, there's a sense of identity to Clatsop County that you might not find in a neighborhood somewhere, mm-hmm. because in the end, our secret mission is not just Clatsop for itself, but Clatsop as a model. And we're
for other rural communities.
Yes. Well, no, not just for other rural communities, for everybody, mm-hmm. because we're not inventing stuff. Clatsop is going to be doing things that people know ought to work. There's even evidence that they work, but they're not being done at scale persistently. What we're trying to do is bring in new financing models to make these things sustainable, and then Clatsop and the other four communities can become models of what it looks like when it works. And if you actually have that model to look, then you can be inspired to do it, even in a larger, more difficult, less contained place. But right now, there's no real model to look to. Maybe
right.
somewhere in Finland.
One of the things that we noticed in our meetings yesterday was, I think we calculated it was 392 million. What was the number that we calculated?
Yep. Yeah, maybe about $322 million being spent, rough numbers on a napkin yesterday, but in the healthcare system here in Clatsop.
And so one of the things that, you know, knowing that cash flow is going through the system, and knowing that even at the table yesterday was very interesting, because there were organizations that didn't realize were not necessarily duplicating efforts, but could reduce costs by having a discussion. And understanding that 320 some odd million rough amount of money could probably be put to better use if these organizations, these individuals, if the city really came to the table and said, look, let's organize, let's have a clear objective and a coordinated effort, you know, mm-hmm. let's come together.
Okay, so who are the other four communities?
Spartanburg, South Carolina, Niagara Falls, New York, Greater Muskegon, Michigan, which is a collection of cities, and Lake County, California.
Oh, there's nothing in the South.
Spartanburg.
Okay.
Yeah. It's on that border, right?
It was a function of who applied. And to some extent, I think Colorado said, we don't need those guys. But that was part of the geographic distribution we were looking for. We were looking mm-hmm. for the best group of five, not the five best.
Mm-hmm.
And we also do not have a $5 million prize.
Okay, we should talk about that, because that has been in every article that I've read.
Yeah, well, that's been very interesting, because I don't know exactly who it is, but it seems to be the same paper keeps publishing the same story,
mm-hmm.
And we keep articulating that.
This whole thing is going to be worth so much more than $5 million to the people of Clatsop. And the prize, we can't give the prize. It's something that you create for yourselves.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So there, it was originally modeled on the X Prize, which is how that prize money notion got in there. But it's the communities themselves, they said, we don't want to beat each other's brains out to win some prize. We want to learn from one another so we can do this better. And some of what Clatsop is doing, we already want to let the guys in the other communities know about.
Right. Collaboration is a way better goal.
And based on what the five communities that were selected told us, they said, we really want to shift from a competition where there's one winner, take all, and create a challenge. And a challenge is much more about personal best while helping your peers get to their personal best.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I think it's really great. All right, so let's talk about some of the specific things that might be part of our Wellville program over the next 5 years. What are some things that the CCO is looking at, a province? I'm sure that CMH is going to be involved with this. What and the rest of us? What are we looking at doing differently?
Okay, as we said, it's not some nice white people from the East coming in and telling you how to live and giving you a special new program. It's more accelerating your own efforts, getting people to work together. The Oregon OHSU is about to, there is a $5 million thing here, but it's not ours. It's a grant that will be allocated to early childhood prevention of how to prevent kids from ending up in foster care. That money is going to be focused on entities that can demonstrate outcomes and investors who will invest in those. So, as we mentioned earlier, trying to do the same things, but more focused on outcomes and with financing models that are contingent on those outcomes. And that does two things. One, it produces the outcomes. Second, it makes things sustainable because you can show where the cost savings are. And
that brings more interest.
Yes.
That brings more money. Right. Go ahead.
So as part of the whole planning for this and applying for this opportunity, we did kind of identify some areas that are going to be priorities for us to start really working on. Things everybody in the county knows: behavioral health, obesity, early childhood learning opportunities, really working on those areas, mental health, to start really pulling our resources and saying, okay, how do we do this together in a way that's better than we're doing individually right now? And then how do we make sure that we're building something that's sustainable and really innovative, something maybe a little different than we've ever done before? I'm sure you've heard about the new Crisis Respite Center. That's a perfect example of a bunch of different people who've been doing this on their own saying, you know what, we could do this better if we do it together. We can also do it in a way that's much more economically feasible for all of us. And so we've partnered together and we're
Can you explain it?
Yeah, I can. So as you probably know, when somebody's having a mental health crisis right now, they're either taken care of at one of the local hospitals or in the jail. And we really felt like none of us are set up to do that. And so could we partner together? So Providence, Columbia Memorial, the jail, the cities, and make an off-site center, a brand new center where people could be treated at the hospital, made sure they're medically stable, and then they could be taken care of in a home-like environment. A 16-bed facility with a living room area where people can come and go from their rooms, they can be treated by counselors, they can have some peer support, and they can be really treated and taken care of the way that's going to help them get better, not just waiting in a bed in a hospital until they can be shipped someplace else in the state to receive that kind of care.
Mm-hmm. Treated with respect.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And get the help they need as quickly mm-hmm. as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Another example is, again, this is a very low-tech, not tremendously exciting thing, but suppose you've signed up for Medicaid, you finally get a doctor's appointment, but you can't get there. Mm-hmm. Just every time someone signs up for an appointment, there should be a link on the site or a voice that asks them, and do you need transportation? So getting, again, just the coordination of capacity. And while we were sitting in the room, one person said, we're doing this and this with transport. And someone else said, well, we're doing that, but we have this extra van for veterans that's not being used or something like that. So there's actually so much capacity here that if you if you manage it in real time, it can make a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a break now. When we come back, we'll talk more. You've been listening to Your Health, and we're talking about Wellville. We're back. I am with...
That was a great break.
Esther Dyson, the founder of Hiccup, Rick Brush, the CEO of Hiccup, Marvin Aviles, an advisor to Hiccup, and Bonnie Thompson, the chief operating officer and chief nurse at Seaside Providence Hospital. Welcome back. So we're talking about the measures that might... that might make us healthier as a community. I mean, I can think of that. To me, wellness is so much more than a screening test, that wellness is not necessarily having health insurance, although having access to health care when you need it is. I mean, I think of wellness has to do with good, nutritious food when you need it, effective activity program, good relationships, and nice community that feels supportive, meets your needs, adequate sleep, good housing. I mean, it's like, to me, this is what wellness is. So, and you think, well, duh. Yeah, but a lot of people don't have some of those components. They might have some of them, but maybe they live in a neighborhood where there's not a great grocery store, or they live where there's not great access for activities, for exercise.
It's interesting you mentioned that, because last night we had that the community town hall at the high school, and part of that process was a World Cafe. So we're having this World Cafe where people can come and help us understand their point of views. But somebody did mention that to them, health was love and a healthy relationship. And I thought that there were a lot of great point of views, but that struck me, that hit a chord for me, because sometimes we forget that it's just not about taking a pill or seeing a doctor or, you know, taking that extra walk. It is about a lot of other things. And we're hoping to bring a lot of light and shed a lot of light to those items.
Mm-hmm. Well, certainly, but if people are isolated and they don't have good connections, they're not going to be well.
But at another event, someone said, well, health to me means all the things I can't do. Like, I can't eat food. I can't sit and watch the TV. And what health means is that the right choices are easier to make. It's actually convenient to find good food on the way home. It's convenient to go to the gym. Marvin and I went to the Aquatic Center this morning, and we also met Joelle Archibald. So it's great to see these things being used because they're convenient. But when the defaults are unhealthy, it's very difficult to be healthy. If you're homeless, you're not going to be going to the Aquatic Center except maybe to get a shower.
That is exactly true. Yeah.
The evidence is really clear on this, that only about maybe 10% or at most 20% of what matters to our health and our well-being is the medical care system. Mm-hmm. So what's that other 80%? And that's really what Way to Wellville is about, is the other 80%, while bringing the medical care system into the fold. So there are opportunities for health systems to expand outside the clinic and into the community, and I think some of that's happening here in CLADSA. But what really matters to health is what you're talking about, Anne. It's education, it's social connections, it's friends and family, it's job opportunities. And those are really the larger, longer-term initiatives that communities like Clatsop County will be pursuing to improve overall health. But social connections alone, there's plenty of studies that show social connections are more important to your health and lowering your risk of illness than obesity and smoking and lack of physical activity. So the things that we tend to think about are less important than friends and family and a tight-knit community that cares about each other.
I think that is a great place to start. It's kind of big in my mind. I mean, it seems really ethereal in a way, thinking about that. But, I mean, we think of the people who are involved with KMUN feel like this is part of our family. This is definitely a really important part of our community. It's part of my community, part of my support system. When people get sick here, everybody rallies around. You know, everyone picks it up and helps fill in the gaps and what do they need and visit them in the hospital or whatever.
Except they don't actually do it for everybody. And I'm an outsider. I don't know enough. But I mean, we heard about homelessness. The teens that we heard last night were awesome. And they talked about some alarming number of their classmates couch surf from time to time. Whether it's because their family's homeless or because they're not getting along with their parents. And the schools rally round, but the overall support system still needs some filling in.
We heard a lot about being safe last night, too, that people wanted this to be a safe place where they could, if there were problems, that they could share them, not feel judged. And I think some of that's going to be really important as we work through this. You're right. We do support each other during crises really well. And how do we keep that feeling all the time so we can support each other for being well?
Right. And right. People are usually pretty decent at Christmas, and then as soon as New Year's hits, you are a jerk.
Yeah. Or the transient workers that aren't really part of the community, but that do live here.
Right. Right. And there are lots of them.
Yeah. How can they be more welcome?
Right. Well, I mean, we certainly have gaps. If you go to the library, you see a lot of homeless people. They congregate in the library. They have their medical emergencies in the library. And those of us who know about it try to help out. But maybe the library is a place to actually access people who need a lot of services.
Yeah. Well, that's an interesting suggestion.
It is.
I mean, it's a great place to reach people.
It is. Yeah. Another place is actually at the Aquatic Center. I mean, you don't know the person next to you. Yeah. What they're going through. I mean, I know lots of people that have gone there to take a shower because they're homeless.
Yeah, I went to a swimming pool once, and they, as a stranger, and I paid my $5, and they said, you've got to go swimming, you know. You can't just take a shower.
I see they have a shower problem at that facility. Limited water.
But I think you brought up an interesting point. You just put in another piece to the puzzle in on how we can do this better by talking about where might be a good place to reach people. And I think the conversations that we've been having over today and yesterday, and hopefully we'll continue having over the next 5 years, the more of those pieces that we can start putting together to make a beautiful picture, the better we're going to be. So the more people that can be involved in this over the next 5 years, the better success we're going to have. We're really going to get out of this what we put into it. And so trying to make sure that people are coming forward, sharing their thoughts, their ideas, what they're seeing that's worked places, or even things that they think we might want to try, is going to be really helpful.
And also things that haven't worked.
Yep.
Why didn't they work? Maybe they'd work here, or maybe they'd work in South Carolina. I want to know about the benchmarks that we can use to measure our success or failure.
You can count almost anything. We were discussing this morning the number of children who go into the welfare system, the support system, versus the number who are born. That's one really important indicator. The number of children who graduate. Then you have more medical things like transitions to diabetes or life expectancy, heart attack rates. But there's also overall economic vitality. How many people have jobs? And is employment growing? How many people are homeless or are not? And there are issues around how good are the counts. So all these indicators are important beyond your sort of standard health indicators.
So then we're going to be putting together a lot of data. It's going to be fun.
Much of which already exists.
Well, certainly. But we're going to be following it to see the changes over the next 5 years.
Yeah, we have this notion of a little, like a temperature chart that shows you what's going on in your community.
It's like a Fitbit for the whole community.
Exactly.
Quantified community.
I like it.
As opposed to quantified self.
Uh-huh.
And you'll get some help as well as the other four communities. IBM is now a partner working with HICCUP, and will work with the Wellville 5 communities to measure and to draw insights from the data that is being collected.
I don't know if I forgot to do this, but did I ask what HICCUP stands for?
You
Health Initiative that. Coordinating Council. And Rick, bless him, came up with the much better branding of Way to Wellville. So HICCUP is the is us,
mm-hmm.
and the Way to Wellville is the actual thing that Clatsop and the five other communities are doing.
That sounds great. That sounds great. Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking of other measures that we can look, like how many people show up at the ER who are having a mental crisis or a heart attack, or, I mean, anything, obviously. Mm-hmm. Any crisis, and hopefully those numbers would drop.
Well, we're actually hoping to also, part of the philosophy is that by dropping these numbers of attendees of, you know, people in the ER visits, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
or smokers,
mm-hmm.
We're hoping to actually turn that into a business model and see if there's an ability to get social bonds that will pay out to the city or to an investor that sees the benefit of the long haul. And so that's been a lot of we, in fact, we met with a group today called
Craft Three.
Thank you. Craft Three. And they are a local headquartered here in Astoria, and a great group of people that are investing money into a variety of impact businesses here within Oregon and Washington, actually. And so we started the conversation around, you know, what innovative models can be used to help make that change, because at the end of the day, really, you know, if you look at the hospitals and some of the insurance programs, at the end of the day, they make money from people that are in bed, period, right? People come in, they're sick, the hospital gets paid somehow. and so what we're doing is, in a sense, I don't want to say it's counterproductive of that, but it's in the best interest of the individual. And so that brings up a lot of interesting conversation pieces around what does that model mean, and what does the future look like for these businesses and insurance, and Obamacare, and it's all across America, so it's not unique to the area.
Well, and then that makes me think of the idea of capitation, which is
yes.
We'll pay you to keep your patient well, mm-hmm. and that's always been very distasteful to hospitals and doctors, but
that's not fair entirely. It is new in many cases. It is part of Obamacare.
Oh, it isn't new at all.
It's an old idea, but the Accountable Care Act, the reason it's now spreading is because the law is changing and you're getting the reimbursement structures are changing. But change is always, institutions are slow to change, but the incentives for hospitals are now aligning much more in the right direction. And so we're
absolutely,
you know, we're in the forefront of a movement that's happening anyway, and we're helping
to push it
to accelerate it,
to push it along. And obviously we'll never be done.
Nope.
You just keep going,
just
you know,
start.
We have to make sure that this is a nice place to get really old in.
Yes.
You know, at the other end, is there somewhere you want to, yes, is there somewhere you want to live in your last years if you can't be at home? You know, that doesn't feel like a prison. Okay, well, thank you very much. This has been a blast. My guests have been Esther Dyson. She's the founder of HICCUP and is bringing us Wellville. Thank you very much, Esther. It's been really nice to talk to you. Rick Brush is the CEO of HICCUP.
Thanks, Sam.
Yeah. And their advisor is Marvin Avilos.
Thank you, Ann.
I'm not great with your name.
No, it's perfect.
Oh, okay. And Bonnie Thompson, Chief Operating Officer at Seaside Providence.
Thank you.
Yeah, this has been great. You have been listening to Your Health. This program will be available as a podcast at coastradio.org. I'm Ann Goldine.